Well, things are quite different than they were last Sunday. Just by the sheer numbers itself, you can tell that. But I knew between Sunday school and church that the numbers wasn't going to be here this morning, because they usually, you got a whole bunch of people that's waiting to get in by the time Sunday school's over, and they wasn't there this morning. So we've got a lot of empty pews, and a lot of us know what that is. Of course, Ellis, his situation's a little bit different. But I'm sure he's not feeling good at all, and he's not here for cause of it. Beverly's been sick all week. And we talked about her just staying there this morning, not bringing the children at all. But the kids won't come. Now, they want to come, and they don't care if you're sick or not sick. And we really wanted them to be here, too. But after Sunday school, we had already made it up that she was going to take them back home. So I'm sure that she's back home wrestling with them instead of resting very much. But anyway, she's been sick all week, hadn't been feeling very good at all. We've got a lot of others. None of the McGinnis family's here today. Of course, we know why Larry and Pam and them are not here, because of that. And we just got, evidently, Peachy not feeling good neither. And so Peachy's had her health problems as well. But we just got a lot of people that are out today. Mary Frances and Betty's neither one here. A lot of the faces that we usually see are not here today. But nevertheless, you are. I believe that one of the biggest problems that we've got in the church today, and church, I understand perfectly that church is even within church Christ, it's different places. Ellis and I got a letter. It's been 2 or 3 months ago from one of the congregations in Holden Bay that hadn't been doing very well lately. And so, been quite a while. And it was a strange letter to us as we read that letter. Now, most of the mail that we get, in case y'all don't know, we get a lot. But you know what most of them want? That's what they want, most of them. Now, this letter didn't talk to us. This letter said, we're dying. That was the essence of what they didn't say it that way, but that's what it meant. It said, we're dying. This church is really going downhill. We just don't have any here anymore. And the money's not there. And we don't know how much longer we can keep the doors open. We don't know how much longer we need to pay the light bill. And you know, if you didn't read on down into the letter, we'd say, what's that got to do with Mount Zion? Mount Zion doing pretty good. But there's a big danger that could happen almost anywhere. And as we read further down into the letter, you know what they wanted? They want you. They said, you've got any members that you could spare? And I looked at Evans, and Evans looked at me, and I said, what? If you've got any members that you could spare, we could sure use them. And I don't know any elder anywhere that would say, oh, sure. Why, yeah, we'll send you some people. That ain't never going to happen. Now, you, as a Christian and as an attendee here at Mount Zion, if you want to go someplace else, you've got the right. And a thing me and Ellis can be one can do about it. And we've had people that's done that right now came in other churches. And these for different reasons. But I never heard of that before. And I said, what do we say, Evans? And you know, that's a good question. This preacher that preaches there, he's been there for a long time. And I thought, how did they get in this kind of shape? He said that about all they had, just a few, just a handful of older people, didn't have any younger people. And I know churches that are like that. And I know one right now in Butler County. I talked to the preacher not long ago, who lives in Louisville, that comes there once a month, preaches one Sunday a month, and I asked him, I said, I know Baptist church. My dad used to preach there years and years ago. And I said, how are y'all doing? And he said, well, he said, we usually have six on the Sundays that I'm back. And five on the Sundays that he's not there. And they're all older people, and I'm sure that that church is not going to last very long. And I think about businesses. I think about different things in walks of life. And if you're not moving, you're not doing something. The bottom line is you're going to die. That's really what it is. I've seen people, and you have too much to, that just give up. And when they just give up, they don't have any ambition, they don't have any zest for life anymore. Won't be long for the day. That's what happens. Church the same way. Now it's disappointing to me this morning, see 55, when we had 95 last week. I know we looked at 95, it's a little bit more than what we usually have, but 85, that's not pretty unusual. It's 85. And I know pretty well why we don't have any more than 55 this morning. I understand there's a lot of sickness, people out of town, things like that. But, boy, there's a lot of places, and you don't have to go very far to find, boy, I wish we could get up to 55. One of them right up there at Richardsville. Now, their numbers, I've been talking to their elders and some of the other people that go there, their numbers is not too high. And you got to wonder why. And God forbid the day that Ben Ellis Fashion sends out a letter to some other church and says, we're dying. Mount Zion's dying. Now send us some of your members. Or God forbid the day that we're not self-sustaining, that we have to ask other people for money. And I hope that that never happens. Not just in my lifetime or Ellis's lifetime, but I hope it never happens. And I'm going to play it well. I've got full confidence. And we've got young people coming on. We've got new members. Ryan told me not too long ago how many that we baptized and how many new members that we've got. And it looks pretty good. And other people envy our numbers. That's not to say that we ought to be satisfied. We'll never be satisfied. If 95 was a good number, and that was something we had every week, we ought to be satisfied with that. We ought to be moving on. I really worry about churches that are dying. I mean, just flat out dying. And there's places that you can go, and you see an old building sitting there, and all the window lights busted out on it, and the door swinging open, nobody going there anymore. I've seen church buildings that are like that. It reminds me of a story in the Dutch Bibles. I would like to read this just a few verses, not the whole thing, but a few verses to you this morning. Reading from 2 Kings, chapter 7. And I asked Greg to put on there verse 4 through 9. But actually, I'm going to back up to the first of the chapter, those first three verses. 9 verses won't take very long to read. Now, I want you to know this story. And what goes into this story is this, that in the city of Samaria, which was the capital of Israel, now this is after the kingdoms were divided, and the old capital is still down at Jerusalem of the southern part, which is Judah, but the new capital is in Samaria. And the Syrians, you heard Syria in the news a lot here lately, the guy that won't give up over there, mistreating his own people, President Assad, Syria had come down and besieged the city. Now, if you don't know what besieged is, you look at the walls of the city, and you can see that they're impenetrable. They're impregnable. No way you're going to get through those kinds of walls. You've got a big gate going in there, and nobody's getting through that gate if you don't want a man. So to besiege somebody means just get there to the city, stay on the outside, and just wait there till you starve them out. Till they starve to death, run out of water, run out of food, run out of whatever they got. And they just die. And that's what's happened in this reading that we're going to take right here. The king of Israel, there in Samaria. And here's how this little reading starts this morning. Let me read this to you. 2 Kings chapter 7. And here's what it says. And Elisha, that's God's prophet. And then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow at about this time that a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Boy, it hadn't been. You couldn't get it. And 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 lepers, or leprous men, outside the gate, the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the hands of into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, and the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and they did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then said one to another, we do not do well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And so that brings on a whole lot of different thoughts to me. I jotted these down that I want to share some of them with you this morning. One of them is that these lepers, and we talk about what lepers are here lately. I had it in a sermon not long ago. Lepers were people that had a disease that their disease was just, their flesh was just consumed. Went all the way to the bone, and finally it was terminal. It'd kill you. And they had to be quarantined. They had to be isolated from the rest of the people. And that's what they were doing on the outside of the gate. They wouldn't let them even inside the city. And so they were outside the gate, seemingly of no value to anybody. Couldn't get in, and so they had to take their chances on the outside. And they seemed to be the star of this whole story. But notice that they had 3 options. One of them was to go into the city. Well, I don't know how that was going to be done, because the Syrian army couldn't get in there, not with these stone walls and a gate like that. I suppose the only way that they could have got into the city was somebody inside the city took pity on them and opened the gate and let them in because the enemy was coming. But I don't know that. I don't know the answer to it. But that was one of the options they said, because I see this man saying, if we go into the city. So that was part of their contemplation. The problem is that the city's under siege. What good is it going in there? Because if they go in there, people are starving to death. There's no water. There's no nothing. So why go into a place that's not going to do you any good? We just will stay out here to do that. So that's one of their options. And then there's another option. They can sit still and do nothing. That's what a lot of people do. Just sit still and do nothing. And they said if they do that, that was certain death. What we've been talking about? We've been talking about churches that are just sitting still and doing nothing. And they die when that happens. When they don't move, when they don't do anything, they die. And they knew that was because nobody is coming to save them from the inside, and nobody's coming to save them from the outside. Doesn't that little bit remind you of churches? Why send out a letter to another church? Nobody's coming from the inside and nobody's coming from the outside, and it's death. I think there's a tremendous warning, a tremendous message right here. And their third option was, is go see what the enemy's doing. Kind of reminds me when Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Friends, the church here at Mount Zion is never going to do any good if we stay inside these stone walls and keep the gate shut. What'll happen to us? Well, we'll sit here and die. Because help's on the outside, it's not on the inside. Now, I'm not saying that we oughtn't to baptize our children, that we oughtn't to teach them, they oughtn't to come up. But there's a whole lot more prospects on the outside than there is inside. And I think that there's a great store here. A besieged city was Israelites. They were God's chosen people, and that's who the church is today. We went through this not long ago. It's not Israel, it's the church. They were shut up inside the walls and they were taking a defensive position. I think that the Church of Christ is guilty of that today. We're taking a defensive position instead of an offensive position. There's not anything wrong with offense. If you don't believe it, just watch and hear Rick Pitino. Man, he is a big fan of defense. I'm just telling you this morning, you'll never win a ball game on defense. You've got to put some points on the board. You got to have some offense. And the church today, and it's not just the Church of Christ, but I know some denominations. I've got some preacher friends that's got the same problem that the Church of Christ is, and that is that we're taking too much of a defensive position and not enough on the offense. We ain't putting points on the board. We're not bringing people to the Lord because we sit here and we die. In Luke chapter 14, we preached on not too long ago, the master there that threw this great party, a great supper as it was called, he told his servants, he said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Invite others. Go outside the walls and the gates of the cities. That's where the action is. Best defense is a good offense. Got to put some points on the board. The enemy back then is just like the enemy that is today. They've always been there. They're always ungodly. And they press their own agenda. We talked a little bit about that in our Sunday school class this morning. That brings me to 5 points that I want to quickly go over with you on the board this morning. Because I think that there's lessons to be learned from this story. There's lessons for the church to learn. Number one is God helps those who help themselves. How much in the church today are we depending on God for everything? God, you want the church at Mount Zion to be any bigger or any better, bring it on. We'll sit here and we'll wait for you to make it better. We'll wait for you to miraculously do something that'll cause people to come to church. Well, the best defense is a good offense. And God encourages us in the offense. God helps people that help themselves. You know, I remember one time
when the children of Israel were given the promised land, some of you have good Bible students will remember this story. And the Ark of the Covenant was to be carried on high, that is up on the shoulders, and there was one on each corner. Four priests. And they came to the Jordan River, and the Ark of the Covenant had to precede the congregation of the people 2,000 cubits. That is, they were way out of the way. And God told the leaders of that day, he said, I want you to carry this Ark of the Covenant across the river. And God said, when I do that, the waters of the Jordan River will part just like they did at the Dead Sea. The Red Sea, I'm sorry. And you imagine those priests coming all the way up to the bank, standing there, and got this thing on their shoulders. Said, okay, God, move water, move water. God said, I ain't moving the water. I'm being kind of crude about this. He said, do you get your feet wet? They had to actually get their feet in the water before God would move the water. You know what we do? We afraid to get our feet wet. We get up there and we say, God, I'm going to sit right here about time, and I'm going to wait till the numbers improve, and then I'm going to be happier than what I am right now because the numbers improve. God helps them and helps themselves. I had Brian put that in there. God helps those who help them. You've got to get your feet wet. You've got to get outside those stone walls and get to the city. We have to invite people to come to church because they ain't coming if we don't. That's all the way it is. And then point number two, if you got something good, Sherry, do you notice what those lepers did? They went down to the camp of the enemy, fully expecting them all to be there. And when they got down there, not a soul was there. God had already went to work and moved those people and ran them off, scared them to death by the noise. We used that word about three times. And they had a plenty to eat, which they hadn't had for no telling when. They had silver, they had gold, they had raiment, they had everything that they needed. They just enjoyed themselves and carried stuff off and carried it off and hid it. And finally, one of them came to their senses and they said, God ain't going like this. We've got good news. We've got good luck. We need to share it. We need to go back and tell the people that of the kings, look what's here. We can feed everybody in that city on what's here. You know, that's the way we are in the church sometimes. I'm saved. Jesus' blood was shed for me. I've been baptized. I've been taught to go to church, and I do go to church, and I do partake of the Lord's Supper. And all those people out there, if they're not feasting on this, it's not my fault. That's our attitude. We're not sharing it with other people. I learned this lesson from this right here. If you got something good, share it. You're not going to run out. If it's good, God will make more of it. Point number three. If God says something's going to happen, it'll happen. I don't know why that we're reluctant to not put our faith in God to that degree. Did you notice what in those first couple of verses that I read to? Somebody said, see, Elijah had said, he said, tomorrow at about this time, food's going to be cheap. And some skeptic, now somebody belonged to the king, some skeptic said, what's God going to do? Make a little window in heaven? He's going to stick his hand down and start feeding everybody, making fun of God and mocking God. And Elisha said about him or two, and he said, yeah, that's what's going to happen. It is going to happen tomorrow. You might say in 24 hours, but you won't be here to see it. Why wouldn't he be there to see it? Well, the reason is, if something says, if God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen, and that right on the next point, people with mock God are going to pay for it. And that story is that sure enough, disaster struck before the next day, and that man never did get a fight. It really happened. He shouldn't have ever made fun of God. What's God going to do? Make a little winder in heaven, reach down and feed everybody? Just laugh about it. But he never did get it. Boy, did Elisha's prophecy come true and never got a fight of it. People that make fun of God will pay for it. We're living in a nation of people today that are making fun of God. They're making fun of churches. Heard this week on TV that some public place, and somebody don't think about this now, they have a picture of Jesus there, been there since 1947. I seen that on TV this week. And ACLU said, take it down. Now, I'm not high on the picture of Jesus. But it's the thought, it's the idea. Somebody said, take it down, or we'll sue. And they didn't have enough money to hire the lawyers, so they took it down. And they ain't there since 1947 just because it's a picture of Jesus. That's what some man thinks Jesus looks like. I know what this story says. People that mock God will pay for it. And I think we've got a society of people today, atheists. Atheist numbers have doubled in the last 10 years. People that mock God. People that do that's going to pay for it. People that make fun of you and of us as churches, they'll pay for it. That man did, and it's always been that way. And then the last point is sometimes the most unlikely people do the most. Now, you were sitting here this morning thinking, well, you keep saying, let's get out and invite people to come to church, and let's grow, and let's do better and everything. Now, who are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about you. You. And you. And you say, wait just a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm not good at that. That's just not my thing. There's other things I can do, but that ain't one of them. I'm not good at inviting people. Well, did you notice here that the people that carried the good news back to the city of some people were the most unlikely people? They weren't even allowed to associate because they were lepers. They were isolated. They were quarantined. They wasn't even supposed to be. You know what they had to do? This was a law. If they was a leper and they saw me coming and I wasn't a leper, they were supposed to say, unclean, unclean. That is to let you know that I wasn't supposed to get close. You people that went to Louisville last week, you come back with something to give to everybody else. It was contagious, whatever it was. Poor old Greg, he got sick in about 20 minutes after last week. That goes up the truck. Me and Beverly have been sick this week. We didn't even go to Louisville. We had something. I don't know what it was, but she's still sick. Contagious. Ain't nothing like leprosy. Nothing like leprosy. These were the four most unlikely people in that whole city. Maybe thousands of people in that city. They were most unlikely to carry the good news back and say, hey, there's no enemy out here. Come on out. Open the gates. Come down here. All kinds of food. Silver, gold. Everything that you want. Good clothes. Most unlikely people. I think about some of the most unlikely people in the Bible that did something for God and for somebody else. Moses was a fugitive. He killed somebody. Then God called him. David killed Goliath. He was just a kid, a teenager. And the list goes on and on. Some of the most unlikely people do the most. And you may think this morning, I'm the most unlikely person in this audience today. Not to invite people to come to church or help save somebody's soul. You're the preacher. You invite them. You preach to them and you say, well, how much is one person going to do? How much could 95 of us do? How much could 55 of us do? Now, every coin's got two sides. Now, if we do that, we're going to grow. Church of Mount Zion's going to do well. We're doing pretty good right now. Not good enough, but we're doing pretty good. A lot better than a lot of churches I know of. We ain't sending no letters out saying, hey, we'd like to have more of you members. But if we don't do something, if we just sit here, we'll die. That's what would have happened to them. They've done already down to cannibalism. You need to go back and read the chapter just before chapter 7. Go home and read the chapter before. They were actually eating one another. That's how bad it was. Now let me give you some scriptures. We're going to finish the lesson.
In the New Testament about sitting and moving. I actually found a verse in the New Testament, and here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, we sit together in heavenly places. Not anything wrong with that. We're sitting here this morning in a heavenly place. But you know, most of the scripture references is not about sitting, it's about doing something. It's about moving. It's about walking. Even our journey through this life is a walk. Romans 6:4. We walk in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in love as Christ loved us. We walk in wisdom. See that you walk circumspectly. Walk in the light as He is in the light. It's about moving. It's about doing something. It's not about sitting. What's the matter sitting? Well, sitting brings on death. God forbid that it should ever happen to us or our congregation. God forbid that it should happen to the Church of Christ in general. We need to move. We need to do something. We need to walk. But if we see it, we die. And there's no question, and the scripture makes it plain, if something hadn't happened here, that besieged city would have all perished. The reason that it didn't is because somebody did something. And that's what it takes for us. I hope you got something out of it. I hope that you'll go home and read chapter 6 and chapter 7 both, because it's a great lesson here. Beautiful lesson. It's 800 years before Christianity, but it sure applies. If for someone in our audience today that's outside of Christ, we sing this invitation song to help you make up your mind that you want to serve Him. Greg, while we stand.